So we've covered learning moments. Let's move to the next segment, which is mind mapping. What has been your experience with mind mapping over the years?
You and me. Mind mapping. How does a child organize their life who's got dyslexia and maybe some other learning difficulties? Well, the obvious one is to look at Tony Bazan. We looked at Tony Bazan when he started it all, and we thought, light went on and showed his head, going, bing, this is so obvious. You can't put your thoughts and ideas on paper, but you've got all your thoughts and ideas. The quickest way to do it is a mind map. And then, of course, when you're looking at kids now, as we have been over many years now, who are now, we have a leavers program, which I run, a leavers program in the school we used to run, which is you then take kids into the detail of mind mapping so that you know when they're going off to college or university, they can use mind maps and they can write their essays by pressing a button.
Yeah, so.
So we're taking them into technology of mind mapping as well. But right down at
But again,
7 or 8 year olds, they're doing mind mapping in the school.
And again, I don't remember when I learned about mind mapping, but knew that it was good for children. I mean, I remember I did see an adult who was extremely bright but could not write essays, and told him about mind mapping. And a few weeks later, he actually said, "You know, with mind maps, I've got a 100% memory." You know, so again, it was just a build up of, right, that's the kind of thing we need to do with
Or that
children.
doctor you assessed many years ago,
Yeah, that's
who
right.
had huge problems. A practical example, he had to give at a GP surgery a synopsis, a 5 minute synopsis on a particular patient. The file was 2 inches thick.
And he didn't know how
He
he could.
couldn't do it. He couldn't. His mind could not see how he could put that down. Shono showed him mind mapping. He solved the
And he would
problem.
take it
He would go in with a mind map.
and be able to talk on it. I did also have, you know, the Get Ahead video that I think I spoke to you earlier about, that was Tony Bazan helped produce it. It was an American girl, and I used to recommend that a lot to young people. And that was probably when we started the school, actually.
20 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. And so a lot of these young
I've
people
looked for
that,
it, but I just can't find it.
yeah.
And now there's a lot of free resources on. You don't have to spend a lot of money on mind mapping. So what we do, within a handout that we give out to parents, Shona, when assessing, she gives fact sheets out, and one of them's on technology. And there's a lot of the in there on mind mapping. And what we say to parents and to people who want to use them is, you choose the one that suits you, because they're all different.
The technology.
Technology one,
Yes,
yeah. But often in there, one of the tasks I do with young people is that they have to write me a few sentences, and some of them can't start. They just don't know where to start. So I'll do a little mind map with them.
You'll draw one.
I'll do one with them. And because I'll say, "Okay, what's your favorite game?" And they'll tell me, and I say, "Right, let's do." And I'm doing it by getting the information from them, and then I'll say, "Right, you write a few sentences," and they're off. So,
Of course, mind mapping doesn't just work for dyslexic. I mean, I remember doing my daughter when she was doing a PhD. She said, "Dad, come and help me." I went down for 2 days to help her,
Did it
and
mind
basically, we did mind maps. Ah, right, now I understand.
Yeah.
And I think I would have done it if I had the chance, because, you know, anyone, it's all that research you've done, but how do you organize it? And they're perfect for that.
And distill it.
Oh, yeah. I would have definitely used one, and Tanya found it really useful.
What do you find with the difference between handwritten maps and computer maps in your experience within the school?
Within the school, the children tend to say they've got to do a story about what they did at the weekend or something. They can usually manage a mind map because it's onto one piece of paper. The thing that we found practically with a bigger mind map is that you run out of paper. So whereas with the computer program, it adjusts it all as well, and you can use more, like you can use visual things. But our children do drawings and things on their paper
And
one, but
if you've got a child who's got high functioning autism related with dyslexia as well, then mind mapping is a really good tool for them, because if you look at high functioning autism, you're normally using storyboarding, as they call it. Well, actually, storyboarding is mind mapping. So you just changing it from storyboarding into mind mapping.
But it's I think the practical element with mind mapping, because I know I've been to some lectures on dyslexia, and they've had somebody on the stage with a flip chart, and as the speaker's speaking, somebody's mind mapping to show people, the benefits of mind mapping. Mm. And that's where you might see somebody thinking, oh, I'm going to run out of paper, you know, so that's where the computer...
And if you take those who've gone on to college, so the older student who's got dyslexia or specific learning difficulties and is using mind mapping, and you teach them to use their iPod to listen to lectures, to actually record the lecture, or actually video, some lectures will allow you video, then they can listen to the recording while they're cycling back or on the bus and so on. So it's overlearning, which is what they need. But then they can immediately shove that straight into the mind map. Mm. If they've got various things on their, say they're doing geography and they've got various legs coming out on the mind map, they can take that lecture and shove it straight in technologically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They don't have to worry about, I don't have to put it in a file.
Yeah. I'm got to the point where I have a love-hate relationship with handwritten mind mapping and computer mind mapping.
Uh-huh.
I love both and hate both sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, like the computer mapping, I love it because it's so fast.
You get
information down so fast. But often it's so seductive, you end up writing two or three words on a branch, you don't have a discipline of structuring it, and it ends up becoming lots of words and very big, and I've got all the information, but you haven't got the advantage of distilling it down to a focus.
And so then
I found my pattern has got to the point where if I really need to understand something and process it, I need to draw the map.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
If I really want to capture the information, computer mind maps do that really well.
There's also a learning style.
But the physical, you see.
But I'm wondering, what's your experience
in that? Well, our daughter-in-law, who's severely dyslexic, doesn't like computers. She likes computers for doing certain things on, but she loves writing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she likes mind mapping in using her hands to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But she doesn't like doing it on a computer.
But the thing is, I love computers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, I'm looking at this mind map software. I've got them, tons of them.
Yeah.
You know, iMindMap, MindMaster, Coggle. I use all of them.
Yeah.
You know, and my computer's full of them. My iPad Pro's full of them. My phone's full of them. iThoughts, I love it. But having reflected back on 25 years of mind mapping nearly every day, I keep going back to the power of writing it down. Mm. I end up being more productive when I write it down. I don't fully understand it.
I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Right. My son asked me, this is my son who's 45, the other day, just literally the other day, he said, Dad, I'm trying to distill these ideas of this particular thing down on paper. I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do a quick mind map and send it back to you. I did. So within 5 minutes, I send him a mind map back. Now, if it taken me, for me then to put that onto a computer, it's going to take more than 5 minutes.
Because you hand drew the mind map.
I hand drew the mind map, took a photo and sent it.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. 5 minutes.
Isn't that interesting that sometimes handwriting can be faster than the computer?
Right. The only thing I could think of, though, where you're using something like inspiration, so say you were doing a huge thing, like a PhD or a master's.
A dissertation or a big essay.
Yeah, and as you're doing your research, you're putting the information into the particular cell.
Well, we did that
cell.
For the EU project.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've done that. When I did my second degree, started my second degree, I stopped at the diploma level. Because what happened was I would often capture information by hand in a hand map, and then I structure it by hand, and then I would take my structured mind map and put it into a computer mind map, restructure it a little bit more and hit export into Word, and it would create an essay outline.
That's right. Exactly.
And then I would just fill in the essay outline. And I think a lot of people use things like inspiration to do it. And I think there might even be some people, I teach my students, who really want to use the computer side of things. I teach them by hand. I think it's really important to learn it by hand and then apply that to computer. I say you could capture the information very wordily on a computer map. You could then internally processing in the time of at home and then put it back into the computer once it's processed so that you can export it as a essay. My understanding is that one of the most recommended things in assessments is to learn how to mind map for dyslexics. for teenagers. Am I right in that? Is that a commonly recommended thing in sort of reports?
It would be in mine.
Yeah, what's your experience? Do you kind of keep it in regularly? Is it?
It's always, every report that I write has got about mind mapping. So for younger children as well.
Okay.
So I would recommend maybe Kidspiration, and there's a couple of books for parents as well, Mind Mapping for Kids.
Okay.
Things like that. So yes, and probably for the last 20 plus years, I've had mind maps in my reports.
How many reports have you done in 20 years, would you guess at?
Thousands. In the thousands.
Literally thousands? Uh-huh.
Yes.
Wow. Thousands of assessments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to advice. What advice would you give your teenage self? But you're not dyslexic.
No.
Are you? Neither of you are dyslexic.
No.
No.
So
I have a dyslexic.
If you were going back and you were giving a teenager some advice, a dyslexic teenager some advice, what would advice
Very
would
simple.
That be?
Never, ever give up. Mm-hmm. Fall down, brush yourself off, get up, make mistakes. Doesn't matter if you make mistakes. Keep on trying, keep on trying.
Can do
and
attitude.
Reach your potential. Because with your intelligence, you're no different. In fact, you've got advantages of other people. Just look at some of the most famous dyslexics.
Every child, that's what I would say to them, is that you're bright and you can do whatever you want to do because you'll get support, you'll get extra time, you'll get technology. So basically, you've got to aim for what you want to be and people will support you. So that's the best advice. And that's why, but for example, not every child's getting that because they're not seeing someone like myself or... I mean, obviously they are as well. It's not just me. There's other educational psychologists will say the same thing, but it's not going to cover every child who's got dyslexia.
So are you saying the advice is find out if you've got dyslexia?
Yes,
get it assessed?
Find out, get assessed. And some parents will say to me it's the best thing they've ever done. We always show children dyslexic people who have done well. And I always put that in my report too, a little podcast that they can... YouTube that they
YouTube.
Can watch, and we'll talk about, you know, the gift of dyslexia. That's in every report that I do as well. So
brilliant advice to a parent. What advice would you give to a parent?
Well, sometimes what I'll say to parents is look at our website first, have a little look at, you know, if you think your child, sometimes they'll say to me, I think they could be dyslexic. Often they'll say things and I'll say, well, it sounds like it, but why don't you go and look at checklists. And if you really feel that they hit all that criteria, then they probably are. But if you want, then you need, well, if you want the formal assessment. A lot of parents do want the formal assessment then. So to have them assessed, but also, again, to most of the parents I'll say while they're here, is you've got to keep telling them that they are bright and that they can be successful. And I'll say that, I'll put it in my report for schools as well. They should be supported at school. That it's that... self-esteem and confidence that's most important.
Colin?
And I'll actually say to parents as well, if parents will phone just to ask, I'll say, provided you feel their self-esteem and confidence is fine, you don't need the assessment. But as soon as you, if you monitor them emotionally and you think that their self-esteem is starting to affect them, get the assessment.
Interesting.
Mm. My advice to a parent of a dyslexic child is... your child is going to be more emotionally... Their emotional intelligence is going to be like the nerve. If you had nerves right on the top of your skin and you could just touch them and you went, oh, that's pretty sore. That's the emotional intelligence your child will have with dyslexia until their needs are taken care of. Your job as a parent is to love them through it all.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
And, I mean, some books, like Dr. Gavin Reid, give... Gavin a plug, who's the other psychologist involved. He's written loads of books that are very readable. They're not like reading textbooks.
Which one would you recommend starting with for parents?
With?
Dr. Gavin Reid's books.
Dr. Gavin Reid, just, he's got so many books on dyslexia. Just look, get his latest one, because usually the latest one will have, you know, any new technology and stuff like that. And he's also got some that are like 100 tips for parents and things. So he's got some really...
Did you not mention he had he was
Gavin.
Yeah, anyway, he's got lots of resources.
Oh, yeah, books, lots of books. And the fact that they are readable, it's not like reading a textbook you get bored with. It's very readable.
But the EU SPLD has all of Gavin's stuff for free.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and Gavin's stuff's in there too. And
so we've covered the advice. Let's go to tools. Dyslexia tools for thinking, organising gadgets, apps. We've covered quite a lot of them, but some parents might come straight to this segment and think, what tools would you recommend as
we've got a handout on apps, haven't we?
Well,
a lot of free apps we're trying to do.
But the first place to go, where everything is free and the whole gamut of SPLD is covered, from what's common to all specific learning difficulties, down to specifics in terms of indicators for each of the learning difficulties, down to all the support resources. That's on EU SPLD. And that's that's a point where they should go, and it's totally free, downloadable.
Yeah,
and there's also,
and that's EUSPLD.com,
all lowercase.
Fine.
There's also the wheel of apps.
Yeah, but that's within
it's part. It's on there too.
So what kind of gadgets do you use? With you've mentioned Inspiration as a mind map app.
Yeah, that's a program.
Program.
Yeah, Inspiration. There's Kidspiration. Basically, any computer program. You know, there's a lot of free ones. There's the Nessie program for younger children that have got a lot of things. There's the Blaster series, which is American.
But you're talking specific then. You actually have
programs.
To buy them.
Well, that's okay. I mean, a lot of parents
are
okay with buying things. So just interested to see what you found useful over the time.
Word Shark and Number Shark, but again, you have to buy that one, don't
you? But you're going specifics.
Nessie, you don't have to buy.
I know, but you're going specifics. Basically, on the website.
But parents want specifics. Parents who are listening, what kind of specifics have you
found? What are you talking about? Reading, you're talking about writing, spelling, are you talking about maths? You're talking this, and there are a multitude of apps out there. And the learning styles, again, I go away from the specifics because every child's different and how they learn is different. And therefore, you can give them, you can direct them, which we do, that these apps are free. These are not free. But actually, there's a lot of stuff you can do now. The ease of access now on Microsoft or on Mac. There's a lot of stuff there on Google. There's a lot of stuff there now that it's all free.
Yes.
There's dyslexia friendly.
You've just got to know about it and how to use it.
See, I tend to, on my report, do some specifics. But we also have a handout that's got more. I mean, for example, BBC Schools Typing. It was straight on and it's a typing program, free.
Yeah.
You know, and the parents like that, but there's also an Nessie program.
There's lots of stuff. I mean, technologically, I'm an Apple guy.
Yes.
Because Apple flows between the Mac, the iPad, and the iPhone. And if I was a student and had the money, which obviously don't, and obviously if this is in Africa, they won't, but in Europe or USA,
Australia,
I would be, if I was a student, I'd be taking my iPhone into lectures and saying to the guy, I want to record this on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can translate that straight into my iPad, into my Mac, and I can use my mapping, and my life becomes, as a dyslexic student, a lot easier.
Yes.
And
programs, though, like Read, Write, Gold are used a lot by secondary school pupils and university, and it's usually given to students if they've had the assessment. Read, Write, and Gold, because it's got a read aloud, it's got a read back, you can change the colour and all that kind
but
of thing
that's
as well.
Free.
So
you can do that free with Mac or with Microsoft.
Yeah,
there's
can.
Something
it's
called Read Aloud.
So much. Technology and apps is
natural
a good one. Natural Read is a brilliant one.
Yeah.
Natural Reader, where, you know,
and
we often use that. You use that for your assessments.
I put that in beginning so a student can just listen to the report.
They can have their assessment read to them.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's so many.
Thank you for joining us, Dr. Lannan and Colin Lannan. Over to you. Any final words?
If you're ever in Scotland, there's always a welcome.
And Redrose School do welcome visitors as well, if anyone's in this country. And they want to visit Redrose School. We've had people from all over the world visiting.
And what do they do if they want to visit?
They just, we'd phone up the head teacher and ask if they can have a visit.
Or email the school.
Email the school, yes.
Redrose School.
Or look at the website.
at the website. Which
is redroseschool.co.uk, all lowercase.
There is another Red Rose School, so you've got to be careful it's not the wrong one.
Okay.
But we had a girl from Slovenia for a year placed with us, so we take placements as well. So.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for giving so freely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.